And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast. Davey Rispin and Nicky Brennan. And a lot to get through on this podcast. First thing I want to say to you, David, is, you know, I've been talking to you over the last 3 or 4 weeks at the start of all these podcasts saying, isn't it glorious weather and the birds are singing and the sun is shining. And I'm nearly sick of it at this stage, Davey. Is it okay to say something like that? I'm melting, so I am.
It's very hot. You obviously had a game or that over the weekend, did you, or that? Did you have a game over the weekend or anything?
Yeah, I played on Saturday night, so we did. It was a lovely evening. Actually, I love playing in this weather. I love playing a match in this weather.
It is. That's the big thing. But, yeah,
a new a brand new O'Neill's football in that weather is a thing of beauty. So it is. Yeah. It's just
pitches are a bit hard. Can we say that?
No? Yeah, the pitches are a bit hard after them being so soft for so long. Yeah. They are, but just striking a ball, a brand new O'Neill's, the soft leather, on an evening when the sun is shining, and it just travels so truly. You know, there's a real crispness to it, and you know you don't get that with one of the older O'Neill's footballs. I always go looking for the brand new. We've got two brand new O'Neill's footballs, and I always go looking for one of them.
The wides even look better now than they would when it's wet, you know. There's a bit more of a substance to them. But yeah, no, listen, it's fantastic. And the action across the weekend, not just saying me, they're on the club scene, but across the board, like the hurling was obviously phenomenal over the weekend. And yeah, the last day of the Premiership, the sport, it's weekend after weekend, it's just epic at the moment.
Yeah, you were in Croker yesterday for the hurling. And I was down in Port Leash, so we both got a bit of sun and we both got a bit of GAA in as well on the weekend. But I suppose we'll get started, Davey, because we've a good bit to get through on this one. And we start last Wednesday evening in Hawkfield in Kildare Centre of Excellence. The Miners were taking on Kildare in the Leinster semi-final. And it was the home team, Kildare, who came away with a 1-point victory. Now, we did do a full review of this over on our Loyal Royals podcast. But just to give our We Are Meath listeners a little taste of it, loads of green shoots from this one. And the lads just came up short in what was a thoroughly entertaining game of football.
Yeah, it's funny. I think sometimes when you lose a game like that, it doesn't hurt as much because You know you played well, and you know the opposition played well as well. There's no real hard luck story in it, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a case of that they underperformed and they got beat, or, you know, a lucky break went in Kildare's favour or something like that. Sure, Meath probably could have nicked it, but they'll take, as you said, they'll take savage amount from it. The performance, particularly in the second half, I felt when they were four points down at one stage, playing second fiddle. They looked like a beaten docket at that point, but they rallied, played extremely well, created a few decent goal opportunities for themselves, and it could have been different. But overall, it was a quality game. I loved it. I thought it was a really open, old school sort of game of football that everybody clearly enjoyed.
Yeah, for the supporters, I suppose, they'll come away from it thinking, yeah, look, great team, did their best, and we're very proud of them. But for the players and the management, of course, they would have wanted to go another step forward and get to that Leinster final and get themselves through to an All-Ireland quarter-final and doing so as well. But it wasn't to be for Stephen Morgan and the lads. Some great performances on the night. I suppose Keane Commons kind of playing between the midfield and the forward line. He hit 5-3 in the first half, 2 in the second half. John Harkin hit 3 points. Andrew Gormley, Pat Crawley, Ben Corkery and Ollie Maloney all getting a point each. They were the lads that got on the scoreboard, Davey, but there was a couple of other lads who, Sean Brightley as well, full-back in particular.
Yeah, another Gormley was really, really impressive, a twin brother of Andrews, and Commons, as you put it, was probably the star turn on the night. He was absolutely exceptional, 5 points from play. Thomas Sheridan did well too. There was a number of players who played extremely well for Meath. And
Captain Eamon
Armstrong, yeah, very good. Yeah, drove at the heart of Kildare time and time again. Really honest effort from him. So there was loads of positives to pick from it, and I think they definitely have bright futures. And you would like to think that a lot of them are going to progress through to the under-20s in the years to come and just kind of add to, I suppose, the successful minor teams that we've thankfully had over the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did a full review of that over on our Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon.com/WeAreMeath. Davey caught up with Stephen Morgan, the manager, after the game, and brilliant interview it was as well. So hard luck to Stephen and the lads. And as Davey has pointed out to me on numerous occasions, there was plenty of green shoots in that team, and plenty of those players will push on and play under-20s for me in the coming year and over the coming years. And a few of them will definitely push on to senior ranks. Davey, we move on then to Saturday, and the Camogues were out in the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship, and Meath were playing against Laois. Brilliant victory for Meath, 6-19 to Laois's 2 goals and 3. This played in Trim on Saturday, and Aoife Minogue hitting 3 goals on the day, but was quiet, according to Fergal Lynch, when I spoke to him on the weekend.
Yeah, I actually heard him saying that on the Matchday Diary when I was listening back to the Perry. So that says it all. Listen, she had a very busy weekend, obviously, as she tends to have, but this was a more straightforward one for her. 3 great goals, but I love to see the spread of scorers aside from that. Like, you got a goal and 4 from Ciara Foley, 6 points from Grace Coleman. To be fair, she's been doing that all year. Abby Donnelly with 1-3, Emma O'Connell from her toth with a goal and a point, and then a host of players getting points, including Tracy King, Amy Gaffney and Aoife O'Halloran with a hat trick of them. So it's a fine start for them, and clearly that Dublin game hasn't really deterred their progress, really, which they've enjoyed this year at all. They're kind of taking their league form into the championship now, and it's a really positive start. I think they'll be certainly going after the intermediate championship again, and this is a good platform to build upon.
Yeah, and we'll be coming to their upcoming fixtures in a few moments' time. We'll move on then to Sunday, Davey, and the aforementioned Leinster final taking place, the ladies' Leinster final taking place in Port Laois on Sunday, and a disappointing result for Meath. It finished Meath 9 points, the Sneaky Dubs 2 goals and 9. And I suppose hard game to evaluate. Meath had the wind in the first half, only had 5 points on the board. Dublin only had a goal and 2. It was a draw at halftime, and the goal coming from Kate O'Sullivan punched into the net. It was a speculative effort, dropping short. And she did well to get up and punch it goalward. And Monica McGurk got a hand to it, but it still nestled in the roof of the net and went into the side of the net. That was the disappointing aspect to it. And Meath really needed to use that win in the first half and kick on and maybe be 4 or 5 points up at halftime to really give themselves a platform in the second half. Dublin in the second half, Davey, they just crowded out Meath's kick out, and the Meath kick out malfunctioned on numerous occasions. Not that it was per kicking or anything like that. It was just Dublin put a high press on and turned the ball over numerous times. Dublin were very wasteful throughout the game. I think they had 6 or 7 wides in the second half and 5 against the wind in the first half. But lots of work to be done for this Meath team going into the All-Ireland Championship, Davey.
I suppose that's probably the good thing in that, again, it's a separate competition which they go into now, but I suppose they're at the last chance loom. We would have liked to have seen progress between the league and Leinster Championship, which I don't think we have now. You can kind of say the Laois victory, okay, but it was against a side that obviously aren't at the same level as what Meath are at. It's a disappointing one. The key or sorry, the common trend over the year has been the lack of scores. They've struggled to get above 10 points in too many games this year. And I mean, when you're playing at that level against the quality of a Dublin and other sides, you're not going to win too many games like that. So possibly one of the big learnings, particularly listening to you and talking about the first half, is that they need to be a little bit more gung-ho when they have the likes of the elements behind them and stuff, and make better use of them than they clearly did at the weekend.
It's funny, like, they did go fairly gung-ho in that first half when they were in possession of the ball, but when they weren't in possession of the ball, they were back, protected the D. They did go gung-ho. They put a few, Ethan Minogue dropped in on the square a few times, and they pumped in some high ball, and we were unlucky not to get something off one of those. And that was the difference, I suppose. Dublin got their goal in the first half. Meath weren't able to get one. And in the second half, Dublin were able to push on, get that second goal and give them the cushion. We will be doing a full review over on our Loyal Royals podcast. We have a brilliant, brilliant interview with manager Davy Nelson. No holds barred interview with Davy. And it's really well worth checking out over on our Loyal Royals podcast. We also have the Match Day Diary, which already went out for the Leinster final. Myself and a few contributors to that one, Fergal Lynch from the sports editor of the Meath Chronicle. And of course, long-time listener to the podcast, Colin O'Brien, Navan O'Matney's, the PRO of Navan O'Matney's, getting involved on the day as well. Wasn't too impressed that they cornered him and just stuck a mic in his mouth.
I've never heard Colin O'Brien so stuck for words before than what I did in the Match Day Diary. Incredible.
Yeah, it was like pulling teeth. But in fairness to him, he did give us a few words, and it's over there on our Loyal Royals podcast. And look, it's just the same old story. The winner takes it all in the Leinster final, and it was the Sneaky Dubs.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
We also have on our Loyal Royals podcast this week the All County Football League reviews, previews and predictions as well. And we'll have a look at those later in the week. So we'll move on now, Davey. We'll have a look at our fixtures that are coming up. And I suppose Saturday is going to be a great day for Meath supporters because the hurlers and the footballers are out. First game that will take place will be the footballers in the Tailteann Cup Round 3 game. And it's Meath against Down. It's a battle of the top two in their group. So it'll determine a top spot. And the second game will be Derry against Meath in the Christy Ring Cup Final. That's going to be at 5 o'clock in Croke Park. So the first game between Meath and Down will be played in Parnell Park. And, you know, we said it last week when the fixtures came out, Davey, that, you know, somebody up there in Croke Park obviously made a really good call here and put Meath and Down at 1 o'clock in Parnell Park, giving all of the Meath supporters a chance to get over to Croke Park for 5 o'clock for the Christy Ring Cup final as well.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Down will be that pleased about it, but it makes sense absolutely from a Meath's perspective. And let's hope the supporters avail of that sort of opportunity and get to Croke Park after Parnell and make a real day of it. I think the football, whilst the result naturally isn't near as important as what it is in the hurling game later on, it's going to be an excellent barometer as to exactly where Meath are at. Have they made progress since the league or the Leinster Championship, for example? Because it's definitely our stiffest test to date in this Tailteann Cup, and it's going to be interesting to see how Meath deal with what Down are going to throw at them from the start. And obviously later on, it's a huge occasion in Croke Park against Derry, and Meath will take great solace from the fact that they beat Derry only a few weeks ago up in Owen Beg without James Toor for what, about 40 minutes of that game. So whilst it won't count for a whole pile, it's a completely different game. I think Saoirse Bulfin's men will travel up there in pretty optimistic form considering the recent form.
Yeah, absolutely. Just bring it back to the Meath Down game, Davey. We'll come back to the Derry Meath game in a moment. You know, Conor Laverty is getting a tune out of these players, but I suppose they're two teams that are very similar in their trajectory at the moment, in that they're after, like, there's been huge fluctuation in both panels this year. Conor Laverty has brought back in all the Kilcoo players that weren't making themselves available for the last couple of years. They had to bed themselves in throughout the league. They all didn't get straight into the team. And this is a Meath team that was taken over by Colm O'Rourke this year. Lots of fluctuation in the panel as well. We know that there's the mainstays, the old reliables in there on the team, but a lot of newbies in as well. So two teams with very similar kind of years, not similar years, I suppose, but similar makeup this year, in that they've got a lot of mainstays from the last couple of years with a whole flux of new players coming in around the panel. So they should, and from the results so far, there shouldn't be a whole pile between these teams. But the one thing we know about Down is that they are going to have a very organised display or way of playing.
Yeah, and that's something that Meath have traditionally struggled with whether it being Ulster teams or a system in general. They're actually going to come up against both of them on Saturday. So I'm really fascinated to see how Colm O'Rourke and his management team approach that, and how the players deal with what Down are going to throw at them. Because as well as being a sort of well-oiled machine, they've got some lovely footballers as well, the likes of the Johnstons. Pat Havern's a really sharp shooter as well. And they're going to pose serious questions for Meath from the start. Meath have probably got away with it to an extent in the recent games, in that they've probably been able to labour for most of the first half in each of the last two, and you know, up the ante in the second half. I don't think they'll get away with that. So it's vitally important that they hit the ground running and match Down, at least in the early stages, and then try and impose themselves on the contest. But as I say, I think it's a really good indicator of exactly where Meath are at the moment in comparison to, as you put it, a side in a sort of similar moment, if you will.
When you say match Down, do you feel that Meath probably need to match Down's tactics as well, and maybe keep it cagey at the start, fill in holes, drop back players, don't let Down get a run on you at the start of the game, and ease yourself into it and see where the holes can be picked in the Down formation?
I kind of do, yeah. I think the game could easily go away from me in the first 10 or 15 minutes if they're too open or they're not at it, you know what I mean? So I think that's why it's vitally important that they keep it maybe cagey, you know, in the opening exchanges, and then try and feel Down out from there. Because I do feel that they're a little bit ahead of us in terms of development. That's not to say that we can't get to grips with them or beat them or do whatever throughout the course of the year. But I just do feel that Down are probably, they've got those couple of scalps. Obviously, the win against Donegal in the Ulster Championship is probably one that stands out. And they have been playing decently throughout the year, whereas Meath have been so up and down. It's very hard to gauge. But I do think a win here would just boost the confidence and the morale of the group and really take something into the knockout stages, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we want to wish Colm and the lads the very best luck against Down. They are obviously true to a preliminary quarterfinal at least. It'll be nice to see them getting the victory over Down and putting themselves through to a quarterfinal and having an extra week to rest up and work on tactics going into the knockout stages. Moving on to Derry and Meath in that Christy Ring final, you did mention that as well, Davey, and, you know, the recent form of this Meath team. You know, after losing to London, I think the following week they had to travel to Derry to Owen Beg, and, you know, in a massive, massive game, a crucial, crucial game in their hopes of getting to a Christy Ring final. And Derry were motoring well at the time. Meath went up and they brushed them aside, never looked like losing that game. Won it by 6 or 7, I think, in the end, maybe even 8 points in that day. And Derry then had all the work to do to get to the Christy Ring final. Meath had to beat Sligo, obviously, on the last day. They had to beat Tyrone as well after Derry. But they had to beat Sligo. Sligo were on the level of points with Meath going into that last game. Derry needed a win on the last day as well to get ahead of Sligo. And they did the dutiful as well. So their form coming into this game is pretty good too. And, you know, they're going to love a crack at Saoirse Bolton's Meath team in Croke Park on Saturday as well.
Yeah, with all the pressure, I suppose, on Meath, because they'll go into the game as favourites and they're expected to win and back up the league success. But to be honest with you, Mickey, the tag of favouritism hasn't really hindered Meath really throughout the year. And even the blip, as we put it, against London didn't throw them off kilter, which was great to see. You know, as you said, they bounced back the week after and they showed their class. And they came through a couple of other really stern tests, you know. Obviously against Tyrone, you said Sligo the last day was a really difficult assignment too up there. Like Sligo were going for a place in the final themselves. So Derry did the same. Derry kind of overcame that little setback that they had to, again, Meath to win their last two and get to the final. So it should be a really interesting game. I think one of the things that you'd like to see from a Meath standpoint is to try and add a few goals to their game, and possibly the wide open spaces at Croke Park might just be the tonic for this Meath team, because they've got forwards that can do it. Like, if you think about it, Eamon O'Donoghue, like, Croke Park should absolutely play into his hands the way he's playing at the moment on tighter pitches, you know. So I think it's all set up for Meath. They have a squad there that they can roll subs on and influence the game in a meaningful way in the last quarter of it and everything. So, and also the fact that Meath have experience of being here on Christy Ring final day. You know, some of the players, I think, have won two Christy Rings in their career.
Three.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Three in just 2 years, or three against the same opposition twice. But that should stand to them. I think the experience of doing it on the big day, okay, there's plenty of young players who have come through as well, but the likes of your Toher, Shane Brennan's, Mickey Burks, you know, Adam Gannon, players like that, it's likely to stand to them on the big day, hopefully. And maybe that just will hopefully be the difference between the sides.
From talking to Saoirse after the games over the last, we'll say, 6 weeks, you know, even when he was leading up to the Sligo game, and you were speaking to him the week beforehand, and he had been watching the weather and he had been watching the pitch in Sligo, and the style of hurling that these guys play is conducive to good weather. It amplifies their game when they play in good weather. So the weather is given really good for Saturday. So they're going to look forward to a fast pitch, really good pitch, good weather in Croke Park and doing their thing, because these lads love nothing more than playing hurling in the summer.
Yeah, and I think if you actually look through their scores, that's reflective in what they produced in the league versus the championship. Not that they weren't hitting decent scores in the league, but since things have dried up, if you actually look at it, Jack Regan's come into his own, Eamon O'Donoghue has kind of kicked on to a new level. So yeah, that's clearly playing into their favour, and they've been putting up big scores throughout games. They've actually needed it, because they've conceded pretty big tallies as well, and maybe this could turn into a bit of a shootout. And if it does, I'd be quite happy with that, because I think Meath have the better forwards and players in general, pound for pound, than maybe Derry have. So if Derry do approach it like that, I think that'll absolutely play into Meath's hands.
Yeah, well, look, best of luck to Saoirse and the lads on Saturday in Croke Park. Everybody's going to get behind them, and let's hope that all the Meath supporters going to the football in Parnell Park against Down will travel on to Croke Park for that 5 o'clock throw-in for the Christy Ring final. So best of luck to the lads in that one.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, moving on to another fixture. The Camogues will be out on the 10th of June, and it's going to be away to Kerry in their All-Ireland Intermediate Championship. And they've met Kerry twice already this year, once in the group stages of the league, and they met them in the final. There's only been a puck of a ball between them in both of those games, and a chance for redemption for this Meath team. Probably will feel aggrieved that they didn't win that league final, but we saw how positive they were after that performance. And this is a real chance for them to go down to the kingdom and take the crown away from them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very well put. it's hilarious. They played them twice and they've been beaten by a point in each of the last two. So an aggregate of a 2-point defeat in across the two games, and it's shot at redemption, but it's going to be tough, obviously, going down there. They haven't had to make that trek down so far this year. One of the games was in Trim, the other one being in Croke Park, of course. And listen, Kerry were probably fortunate to get a point against Westmeath over the weekend, so maybe there's a little bit of pressure on them going into this game. Meath obviously have the cushion or the safety blanket of having a good win on their back last weekend, so possibly that might give them the freedom to go into this game, and they should have a clean bill of health. Confidence should be high, and I'm sure they'll go down there confident and motivated by the fact that Kerry have done them in the last two.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll probably go in a slight underdogs into this game, and we'll love that tag. No pressure on them coming up against Kerry, and their final game will be against Westmeath, but that won't be for another 2 weeks after that. We'll obviously talk about that closer to the date. We're going to move on now to the ladies, and obviously ladies final played on the Leinster final played on Saturday, on Sunday. And that has implications towards your All-Ireland group. And so the groups are as follows. Meath won't be out for 3 weeks, but the fact that they lost to Dublin has put them into Group B with the winners of Ulster and an already beaten team that didn't make it to the Munster final. That was Waterford. So Donegal, Meath and Waterford in Group 2 or Group B. Davey, there's some of the other groups that Meath could have landed in that would have been an absolute nightmare. But this could be a chance for Meath to regroup and get themselves motoring again against the Ulster champions, Donegal. No easy task there. Absolutely not. And Waterford won't be an easy task. But when you look at some of the other groups, it could have been an awful lot worse for them.
Oh, it really could have, yeah. It will be the making or breaking of them at the same time, because you're right, there's absolutely nothing easy in it by virtue of the fact that they're against Waterford, who beat them in the league, and Donegal, of course, who they've had a few classic encounters with over the last couple of years. So it'll be a really difficult assignment, but it is an opportunity to probably regroup and try and build a bit of confidence and just momentum maybe, because they haven't had that throughout the year at all. That Group C, like, I wouldn't like to be Cavan being in that one. It's just, I wouldn't like to be Dublin or Kerry either, like, to be honest with you, because that it's a really, really tough group to be in. Kerry haven't really kicked on, haven't won the league. Some of their big players haven't really been playing all that well, but you feel they will peak come championship. And the other two groups as well, like Cork, Galway, Tipperary, absolutely nothing easy in that one. And then you've got Mayo and Armagh alongside Laois in Group A. So probably if you could have picked one of the four to be in, I think it would have been Group B. Yeah. But in saying that, it'll be still two very tricky assignments for Davy's side.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they've got a 3-week break to get themselves ready for that, and hopefully they can fix whatever issues and problems that they have at the moment. And we know one of the major problems that they have is getting scores on the board. It's rare that Meath score over 9 scores in a game. I think the only time that they got double digits in points was against Laois the last day out before the Leinster final in the last group game of the Leinster the Leinster Championship. So best of luck to Davy and the girls as they, you know, go and lick their wounds from that Leinster final and get themselves ready for the All-Ireland Championship. Davy, I suppose before we move on, I just want to as well talk about the hurlers. They're doing a meet and greet day. I think it's on Tuesday in Dungannon. A great initiative again by the hurling committee.
Yeah, it's at 6:30 on Tuesday evening, Mickey, in Dungannon, and an opportunity for the young supporters to meet some of their heroes, have a puck around with them, light training session, obviously in preparation for the Christy Ring this weekend. So it'd be brilliant to see a good crowd. The weather's obviously lovely at the minute too, so no reason why not to get out there, have a puck around, and yeah, whet the appetite for what's to come this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, again, anybody that can get out, do try and get out and support these lads on Tuesday evening and give them the boost that they need before that Christy Ring final. Time to move on now, Davey, I'd say, to the lottos. Have the PROs been in contact?
They have indeed, yeah. The first one I have up is from Menalty, and I have to play it, Mickey, because it's like a video of their lotto, but they have had a winner of their their 11,000 jackpot, and that goes to Martin O'Brien, Moat House in Carlinstown, and he correctly matched 11, 14, 19, and 27. So many congratulations to Martin winning the Menalty lotto. Next up is Cortown, and we're still going strong, touch wood, with €14,400 not won last Friday night. 12, 22, 25, and 27, the numbers. Shawnee Higgins, Jody Roach, Sheila Harkin, Ben and Lisa Carey, and Carmel McGurty were the winners of the €520. And we go again with 14,500 next Friday night at cortownga.com/lotto. Waterstown are next up from Sunday, the 28th of May. The numbers were 13, 18, 19, and 26. There was no winner of their €6,800 jackpot, but they did have one match three winner who was Frank Burke, and he collects €100. Next week's draw is now open and it's worth €6,900. You can play online via Clubforce, or you can pick up an envelope in the Curran's Texaco Garage in the Dublin Road or O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant in Johnstown. Navanomatnies, their jackpot was not won last week. They had a couple of match three winners who had 3 of 10, 13, 16, and 28. And they were Andrew Snow, Breege Scullion, and Bernie McCann. The next draw takes place on the 30th of May. They've got €10,250 on offer there. Castletown, from the 24th of May, jackpot of €3,700 wasn't won. 5, 13, 20, and 26, the numbers. €30 lucky dip winners were Jake Weldon, Jennifer Dunnigan, Noel Mead, the trainer Noel Mead, Sonia Caffrey, and Gary Goodwin. Kilmainham is in from the 22nd of May. They had no winner, and their jackpot this week will move on to €7,400. The numbers were 3, 8, 9, and 15. And the five lucky dip winners were Porrick Black, John Morris, Maggie Morgan, Dermot Donoghue, and Anora and Scott Morgan. Drumbarra, from last week, €1,600 of a jackpot not won, 4, 9, 17, and 22, or sorry, 20. €30 winners were Emily and Rocco Farrell, Eamon Hart, Lucy Henry, Kevin Martin, and Larry Smith. Menalvi, from last Monday night, the 22nd, 3, 14, 19, and 24. No jackpot winner. 3 €20 winners were Mick Keneally, Katie Taylor, not the Katie Taylor, I assume. Possibly it is. Big fan of the Menalvi Lotto. And Mick Delahunt. The next draw takes place tonight with €3,000 on offer at menalvigfc.ie, or you can play it on the Clubforce app. And I think the final one I have on my list, Mickey, comes from Longwood. And their results from the 22nd, which was last Monday, €2,600 on offer. No winner of that. Mag Slevin, Nuala Brangan, and Deirdre Sharkey were the lucky dip winners. 2, 3, 8, and 22, the numbers. And the next draw takes place tonight, Monday, the 29th.
No problem at all, Davey. We're going to move on now to Centralstown's lotto. From last week, the numbers drawn were 1, 5, 13, and 22. There was no jackpot winner. €525 winners were Trisha Finnegan, Jennifer Fitzgerald, JJ O'Carroll, Paddy Crowan, and Desmond Johnston. Next week's jackpot is a massive €3,700. We'll move on then to Kilmaine and Mudd GFC's lotto from last week. It was last Monday. I think it takes place again tonight because we're recording this on Monday evening. The numbers drawn were 3, 10, 14, and 27. No jackpot winner. Five lucky dip winners of €20 each are Kirsty Mulligan, Sarah Malone, Ian White, Zoe Gilston, and Dennis Farley. And then finally, the Simonson lotto last week on Friday night was not won. It was €3,050. Imelda Powderly and Cole Ryan managed to match three numbers. The numbers drawn were 1, 5, 17, and 26. Next Friday's lotto on the 2nd of June is €3,150. And no smart remarks from Jelly this week. And I suppose that leaves it that it's time to move into our Instagram interactive team.
Yeah, just before we do, a few other things, Mickey, that have been brought to my attention. One is a good friend of the podcast, Andy Smith from Dunshaughlin. He's been awarded the Electric Ireland Minor Football Championship final between Dublin and Kildare. That's obviously as a result of Meath losing. So at least one Meath men's loss is another Meath man's gain. So Andy's down to do that one. It's happening on Wednesday evening in Port Leash. So congratulations to Andy. A huge achievement for him. Obviously following in the footsteps of his father, Jim. He's a terrific referee, as we know, on the club scene. And getting rightly recognised now on the Leinster scene, which is fantastic. And also there was a couple of games, which I'm only after figuring I had a little bit of information on, in the Ted Webb and the Gerry Riley over the weekend, which is, of course, the Meath under-16s. The Gerry Riley Meath had a handsome victory over Clare, 4-11 to 3-5. And in the Ted Webb, they were narrowly beaten at the hands of Leash, 2-16 to 2-14. And in the Gerry Riley, they raced into an early lead. They were 1-4 to 2 points up against the wind. They left a lot of scoring chances behind them, and that made it 1-4 to a goal and two at the break, so two between the sides. They pushed up on the kickouts quite aggressively in the second half and scored heavily for the first 15 minutes after the break. They did let in two late goals, but a very good performance overall. There was lots of good kicking and attacking football. Oran Mead from Simonstown, Charles McCarthy, who's a son of John's from Sechelstown, Evan Kelly from Dunham Ashburn, and Cormac Nugent from Navan O'Matney's were the standout players. Killian York, Connor Black, and Jamie Norris returned from the under-17 team and settled back in. And in the Ted Webb, they came up against a very strong Leash side, struggled to get a foothold in the game. They did rally after halftime and got right back into it. And it was a very good battling performance with lots of character shown. The standouts in that one were Mackenzie Doyle from Simonstown, Liam Donoghue from Screen, Quiven Kerwin from Duleek Bellierstown, and Evan Demangi from Drumbarra.
Brilliant. More green shoots coming through, Davey. Who's over the two Gerry Riley teams and the Ted Webb teams?
So I know a few lads that are involved. I know Vinnie Byrne from Longwood is one of them. Great guy. Niall Flynn, of course, another good listener of the podcast from Dunsany. He's involved. There are a few guys who I definitely know, and I just can't remember them off the top of my head, but there's a number of really good lads who are still kind of very active in terms of football and kind of young modern coaches, which is great to see as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see, hope they keep that going over the next couple of weeks. You never know, we might be bringing a Gerry Riley tournament trophy back to Meath once again.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Automower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised Automower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Time to move on to our Instagram interactive then, so Davey.
Yeah, first one up is from Lucky to be Working, and he wants to know, will the hurlers be free Sunday, lads? Well, it's Saturday, to be honest, but I'd be confident enough to be free, Mickey. What about you?
Yeah, I'd say they could be in the attic on Sunday.
On Monday and Tuesday,
yeah. All going to plan, and if everything goes rightly for them. Look, they've been brilliant. Like, even in the games that have been relatively tight, they haven't looked like losing them. They've just been gone about their business so well. I think that they'll be free on Saturday.
Yeah, and next one is from PS Tapes, and he wants to know, why are we getting diary updates from the Prawn Sandwich Brigade in Croker?
Yeah,
That's your fault.
I suppose we had no sandwich update from O'Muir Park in Portlaoise, because there was a complete lack of any sandwich or food available down there. So I was hoping that you might tell us about the lovely food that was on offer in Croke Park.
Yeah, it was nice. To be fair, it wasn't what it normally is. I think there was like a menu and you had to order from it. Normally up there, you kind of get it free. But now the drink was free, which was kind of the main thing. But the food was still lovely. I got a nice chicken burger, and it was just ideal, to be honest. It kept me going.
It was good soakage, let's just say.
Yeah, exactly. The next one comes in from Jack Walsh. And he said, Cork City fans, absolute scumbags. I don't know if you caught this, Mickey, over the weekend.
I heard about their chanting. We won't go into the details of it because, doesn't deserve to be aired. Doesn't deserve to be aired again. Yeah, absolutely shocking, disgusting.
Deck F. Dunn says, a win against Down is a must for progression.
I don't know if it is a must. I wouldn't be in that boat. A good performance is what I want to see against a really well organized team. Progression, it's hard to measure this year, but I still think that we want to see a slight bit of progression, that we need to get to the semi-final of the Torching Cup. But I don't think beating Down, I don't know what your feeling is on that, David.
Yeah, I don't think it's a must. I think we're probably looking more for a performance, and hopefully the result takes care of itself then. But it's not an absolute must in terms of staying in the competition or progressing or anything like that. We do know we're going to have another day. So I wouldn't say it's a must, but it'd be a nice to have, maybe.
A good performance and learnings if they were to lose. You know, coming up against a system like that, that they learn something from it. I think that's more progression, so it is.
Yeah. Robert Perfield said the match day diary tunes need a Spotify playlist. Rob, where have you been?
It has been done. PS Tapes has done up our Match Day Diary playlist. So, Rob, stay tuned. We'll send that out on Twitter. I know it has been done. I don't know, was it tweeted out today? It's been updated anyway.
It was updated today. He tweeted out before now, so we must actually share it. But in fairness, Paddy updates it pretty much after every game or every diary that you've put a song to. And it's a great idea.
Yeah, no, it's an eclectic mix of music, let's just say.
Sean Duggan reckons Gavin McVan is getting $5,000 to play football in New York. someone's not done great scouting there. And he's not a bad man, to be fair. I don't think he's worth $5,000, though.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, if he's only getting $5,000, his agent is no good, so he's not. Because the money you can make going over to play in New York is way above $5,000. So maybe they judge it by your talent, does it?
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
I'm kidding.
Dara McGill said first and second team games been scheduled for the same night. Hashtag zero logic.
I'm betwixt and between on that one. I think that if they're going to fix first and second team games on the same night, that that should be the same for all teams. You know, you look at some of the results from down the divisions with second teams that are involved, and there's a clear difference between the performance of a second team on a Tuesday night and the performance of a second team on a Thursday night. You look at Summerhill, for instance, against Munalty last Thursday, and they got the draw. Had that been on Tuesday night, do Summerhill get the draw against Munalty? You know, I don't think it's fair on the first teams in the lower divisions that it has to be one or the other, so that it's fair for every team in that division, that they all play on a Tuesday night, or your first team play on your Tuesday and your second team play on the Thursday.
I agree with that. And just to kind of throw something else at it, like the issue I have is with the 7 or 8 or maybe 10 players who are subs for the first team that would be probably prominent players for the second team. Do you know what I mean? And there's players there playing for the first team that mightn't even get any game time, you know, and they would have been getting a full game under the belt if they were playing with the second team. They're the guys. It's not so much the players that are playing for the first team and then they get to go and play with the second team. I wouldn't really agree with that, but there is definitely a bit of common ground to be found. And we played Sandstown last week, and I'd be the first to tell you that they were missing so many players. You talked about Summerhill then on the Thursday, and you know, they had a much stronger outfit to play a decent Minaldi side. So it is a little bit imbalanced for sure.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Last one, Mickey, comes in from Finn Hanratty, and he said younger players playing quite well regardless of the opponents. I think that's in reference to the Mead seniors, I would assume.
Yeah, and maybe even to the minors as well, because we saw them during the week. But the young fellas on the Mead, but this is the whole thing. This is the transition of the Mead senior team at the moment, and a lot of young fellas coming in. A lot of lads from the under-20s team are coming in and they're making their mark on that team. Like Conor Gray, for instance, in midfield, straight away, he's a standout. We've got a couple more that will come in. John O'Regan, Kieran Caulfield, they're all going to make their way into this. Owen Frayne in there as well. This is part of the transition, and this is the start of the transition. Aaron Lynch as well. I don't want to forget young Aaron. But yeah, you know, I'm excited about the future of Mead football. While this is going to be a very maybe turbulent year or two until they bed in.
Yeah, I think patience is the key, really. Yeah. I think we have to try and look at the bigger picture here and not really look for instant success, and hopefully try and build something over the course of, as you put it, 3 to 5, maybe even longer years. And there'd be something in place then with a young team that we can all really get behind. So, yeah, hopefully short-term pain for long-term gain, let's just say.
Yeah, 100%. I like that phrase. That's one that everybody needs to maybe take on board in the coming wee while, let's say, while this team are in transition. No more from Instagram Interactive?
No, sir. That's it.
Good stuff. Well, look, again, we want to wish Saoirse and the lads the very best luck at Croke Park at 5 o'clock on Saturday, and Colm and the lads going up to Parnell Park in Dublin at 1 p.m. on Saturday. The very best luck to them as they will face off against Down in the final group game of the Charger Cup. I think that's it from this episode of your We Are Mead podcast. Remember, We Are Mead. Why matters more.